tell somebody, amen. This afternoon, I went over to Promise of Hope Baptist Church. That's where Terrence goes church over there. And I just went over there to encourage the people. I left my Bible over here and everything. And then he walks up to me and said, "Hey, you want to preach?" And I looked at him like, "You don't ask a preacher if you want." "Yeah, I want to preach." You know, so he gave me a couple minutes and I preached and gave my testimony, amen. And we had a great time over there, amen. But I'm ready for some more preaching, amen.
Amen.
And tonight, Bro Russell's going to be preaching. So y'all encouraging and give the Lord hand praise as he come, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's an honor and privilege to be in God's house again, and I'm thankful for another opportunity to preach and bring his word. And one of the most profound things, and for those of you who are called to preach and you know who we are, that when the Lord gives us something, then when we search the scripture and we study and we prepare and we bring the message that we're told to bring, that sometimes we struggle with the message, but it's still the message that the Lord wants us to bring. So we're charged with the responsibility and the obligation, because one day we're going to give an account, as all of us will, but we're going to give an account for the message that we bring forth. And the other thing is that when we preach, then we're preaching not only to you all, but we're preaching to ourselves too. So we carry a large load. So this evening, if you'll stand and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 27, and you'll excuse me because I got a frog or some kind of reptile in my throat this evening. Probably a frog, I'm not sure. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to only read one verse, and then we'll search the scripture and see what the Lord has in store for us this evening. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 36. "And sitting down, they watched him there." Sitting down, they watched him there. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for the blessings of life. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to stand behind this honored table, Lord, to bring your word. And Lord, we realize that we're unworthy, Lord, but you make us worthy again through your shed blood. And for that, we're thankful. Lord, we pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that you wouldn't allow me to say anything that I shouldn't say, only those words that I should. Lord, preach the gospel, be in season and out of season, and just bring the message, Lord, for the hour. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. We'll give you the honor, praise, and glory for it all. In your precious name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. All right. So this evening, it's not by much surprise that the title of the message this evening is Two Sides of the Cross. Which side of the cross are you on? Now, let's just paint the picture. Let's all bring ourselves in the presence of the Lord this evening. And let's bring ourselves into the presence of the cross. And let's bring ourselves right before the foot of the cross, if you will. And let's bring ourselves and just be seated just for a little while and allow the Lord to speak to us and through us and what God's Word has to say. And then let's take that and let's take that Word and then let's apply it to our hearts and lives and see how the Lord can create change within our lives. But the first thing that we'll do, we'll just be seated at the foot of the cross. Now, when we race back in time in biblical days and during the time that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, it's by no secret that we realize that he was perfect and that he was going to be crucified for something that he didn't do. But on both sides of the cross, there were malefactors. And malefactors, by definition, are those who broke the law. They did something bad. They did something to be executed, if you will, and the execution style of that day was crucifixion. And they were on both sides of the cross of Jesus Christ being in the middle. So if we bring ourselves in the presence of this group, and we're going to be seated right at the foot of the cross, and the host of many that are there this evening, that will be in the company of those who saw, who took place at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion of the two malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. And then this evening, we're going to ask ourselves the question, which ones are we? Which one are we going to be? Which side of the cross are we going to be on this evening? So turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter, if you would please excuse me, Luke chapter 23, and starting in verse 32. Luke chapter 23 and starting in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary there, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now Jesus Christ, we know, was perfect and sinless in flesh. He was man, all man, 100% man, 100% God. When he walked this world and he gave an account to his Father, as we will one day, he was perfect. And yet the world crucified him for being who he was. And so being in the middle, and on one side was one malefactor, and on the other side was another malefactor, and they were sinners. They were sinners, and by definition, they were malefactors. They were thieves. They had broken the law. They had committed a breach in the law of that day. And so, rightfully so, they had the opportunity to be executed, and to be executed rightfully so, because they had done something wrong. Jesus Christ, and we're seated, remember, let's not take thought from where we are, okay? So we're seated at the foot of the cross this evening, and we're watching all this taking place. And now we're at the point where they're parting his raiment, all right? So they're making a public display of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ... Jesus Christ didn't do anything, but they parted his raiment, and they split the sides amongst them for something that he didn't even do. He was perfect in everything. And so we're seated and we're watching everything that's about to take place. And so this evening, let's see what the Lord has to say in his word. Amen. Then he says, and the people stood beholding, the rulers also with them decided, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Now, you tell me, now our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and remember, we're seated right here with Jesus Christ, all right? We're seated at the foot of the cross. And Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the one that was going to be sent, a lamb for the slaughter, the one that was perfect, that took on our sins because we were rotten, we were sinners, and we couldn't make it to heaven without the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. But he did it because he loved us. And you know, John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, and all you all know this, but John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the love of Jesus Christ held him to that cross. It wasn't the nail. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. It wasn't the nails that held him to that cross. It was his love for us that held him on that cross. Do you realize that he could have called tens of thousands of angels to take him down from that cross at any moment of time? So when we are seated at this cross, at the foot of this cross, and we're watching all this taking place, it's not unlike in our society today, that people are called upon as sinners to take note of Jesus Christ, who's able to save to the uttermost. There's nothing that Christ can't save you from this evening. So we know that we're not righteous in this flesh. None of us are righteous. The Bible says none are righteous. No, not one. That we're all sinners. And as a result of that, we all need a Savior, all right? So the best thing for us to do is to take note, to sit just for a little while and be seated right at the cross. And let's take a look at and see what else is happening, all right? So let's decide this evening that Jesus Christ is perfect and that he shouldn't have been crucified to begin with. And we'll reconcile that within ourselves. We know that he was perfect. We know that he shouldn't have been crucified. But aren't you glad that he was for our sins. And that he came and died on the cross for our sins. And he gave of himself unworthingly, that he was perfect. He didn't need to die on the cross, but he did it for us because of our sins. And none of us could have died and taken care of ourselves. We can't live the life pleasing unto ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't pay to get to heaven. None of us have enough money to get to heaven. And even if we did, we would struggle with trying to get to heaven. And that Powerball, I mean, I don't play and I'm not a proponent of that, but that money's not going to take you to heaven. None of that stuff is worth dying and busting the gates of hell wide open. So this evening, we're seated at the foot of the cross, and now let's take a look. All right, so Jesus is perfect, and he's in the middle, and he's the one who's dying for the sins of the world. But let's take a look at something else. And the soldiers mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." Well, you know, we know who he is. They knew who he was, but they're pushing him to the limit and saying, "Well, Lord, if you are who you say you are, then why don't you save yourself? And why don't you take yourself off the cross then? If you are who you say you are, then surely you're big enough and bad enough to save yourself." And, you know, it's not unlike what people tempt the Lord with today, though. Okay, so the Lord deals with us, and we try to negotiate our sins with the Lord, and we'll say, "Well, Lord, if you allow me to do this, then I'll do this. And if you allow me to do X, Y, and Z, then I'll commit to you on tomorrow. I'll be better for you for tomorrow, and I'll wait till tomorrow." And so sometimes when we're witnessing to people and we have the opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ, and they may blow us off and they'll say, "But you know, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll wait and I'll think about it, but let me get back to you and maybe I'll do it tomorrow," but tomorrow may not come for them. So we're called upon to tell others about Jesus Christ and to warn them about the hell and the flames are to come. So listen to this. "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew." So make no mistake, we're seated at the foot of the cross, and we envision this, and we see this on the cross, okay? So it's written in all these different languages, so everybody there understands it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the Greek and the Latin and Hebrew, but we're at the cross, all right? Everybody there understands what it says, and this is what it says: "This is the King of the Jews." And it was a remarkable statement in that, yes, while it was true, it was a mockery of Jesus Christ. But the mockery, what they didn't know, what they didn't realize, is the power behind what the statement was. And yes, in fact, he is the King. And yes, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day, that will be the test of time will come to truth and come to fruition. And everybody, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is who he says that he is. Well, all right, so in verse 39 then, "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." So Jesus Christ is perfect. Now, in most sermons you hear, we talk about Jesus Christ and him being crucified. We don't really talk much about the people on the outside, okay? But tonight I want to talk about them because they were there too. And we're here this evening as well. We're seated here. We're seated right before the throne of grace. We're seated right before the cross. And we're going to take a look at these malefactors that were on both sides. Now, the Bible says, "And on one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Now, my first point is this. One was denying his guilt, while the other was admitting he was wrong. So one on one side was railing on Jesus Christ and telling him, "You know, if you are who you say you are, then why don't you save yourself and save me too? In other words, I'm not that bad. I'm not guilty. I shouldn't even be up here. I shouldn't be crucified on this cross. I didn't do anything bad enough to even be executed. I'm not that bad." So the person on the right side Again, and the Bible says in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed him, saying, if thou be king, or excuse me, thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But now listen to what the other one said. And the other, answering, rebuked him, and saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? In other words, the one on the other side was looking over to him and saying, don't you understand what you're just saying? You're as bad off as I am. You're a malefactor. You're a thief. You committed a breach in the criminal law, and you deserve to be up here. And he recognizes the position of Jesus Christ, and he accepts his guilt. He accepts his punishment, and he accepts his position in Christ because he knows, he understands who Jesus Christ is in the middle. And the other person on the other side, he's drawing attention to him and telling him, you're wrong. You're wrong, and he's rebuking him and telling him, you're wrong. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, so the one malefactor was trying to get the other one to see that he's not guilty. I'm not guilty. I didn't do anything that bad. As a matter of fact, I'm probably better than the majority of the people in this crowd. And yes, maybe I did do something, but I don't deserve to be executed and definitely not up here. And the other one is saying, look, you're bad. You're just as bad as I am. I committed the sin. Not only did I commit it, but I recognize it. I admit it. And I'm telling you, but this is Jesus Christ, the one who is able to save us. And I realize that. And I'm the one who is recognizing that Jesus Christ is who he says that he is. So we see then that one was denying his guilt while the other one was admitting he was wrong. One was sorry for being a thief. But you know what? The other was sorry because he got caught. Now, how many times in this walk of life, we call this journey we call life, that we're not sorry for what we've done. We're only sorry because we got caught. Now, in our position with Christ, and if you're saved this evening, then I'm called to tell you that we may not see one another's sins. I don't have to know your sins. You don't have to know my sins. But the Lord knows our sins. And so we're called upon to know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and He chastens us, and He chastens those whom He loves. And so He sees everything that we do. He knows everything that we do. We're called upon to live a life that's pleasing and separate unto the Lord, and we're asked to live, and it's a reasonable expectation that we as Christians will be separate from the world, that we'll do exactly what He tells us to do. It's not unreasonable that we'll live a life, a pleasing life, a dutiful life unto the Lord. It's not unreasonable. It's not asking, in other words, it's not asking too much. So the one malefactor was sorry for being a thief. And he told the Lord that he was sorry. And the other one was sorry, but he was sorry because he got caught. So how many of us today, and you reconcile within yourself, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are sorry for your sins and you recognize, Lord, I know that I struggle with X, Y, and Z. And I know that I shouldn't do X, Y, and Z. But then on the other side, how many of you would say, you know what, Brother Russell, I understand what you're saying, but I haven't got caught yet, so I'm okay. And I'm comfortable with where I'm at. But it's sin. It's still sin. And it's sin. What the Bible calls sin is sin. So then the Bible goes on to say, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he realized that Jesus Christ was the Lord and Savior, and that He was the one who was able to save to the uttermost. And how many of us in our lost condition, before we even came to the recognition of our lost condition, and we were living in sin, we were bound for eternal flames and eternal hell, and had no idea that there was a Savior in the middle that was willing to save to the uttermost. But we were on this side. And we would say, yeah, but Brother Russell, I was a sinner, yes, but I didn't do as bad as most people. I tried to live a good life. I tried to live and do what I could. And I'm not guilty. I'm not as guilty as many people, as others are in many other things. Or conversely, would we be like the one on the other side and say, yes, Lord, I understand. I am a sinner. And I want to go to heaven. And I'm not perfect. And yes, I did commit the sin. And I accept the execution. I accept what I rightfully deserve. Now, that's a big breath. Now, that is a big breath. Because you know what we all deserve? What we all deserve this evening? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So what we deserve is death this evening, folks. But you know, Jesus Christ accepted our sins, our burden on the cross of Calvary, that we wouldn't have to pay for our debt, the wages of our own debt. So one realized his condition, the other was blind to his condemnation. If a person ever gets saved, he's got to get lost first. Have you ever met anybody that is a good person? And you know that they're a good person. And maybe morally, they try to live a good life, all right? So they provide for their family, and they work, and they do all these good things, all right? So they're a good moral person. They don't do all these worldly things, and they try to live a pleasing life. But you know what? Without Jesus, they won't make it to heaven. So they don't recognize their lost condition. We'll never get saved unless we realize that we're lost and we need a Savior. And the one malefactor on the one side didn't realize that he needed a Savior. And he was pointing fingers and saying to the Lord, you know, Lord, if you're really who you say you are, take care of yourself and take care of me too. But the Lord doesn't work that way. We accept the responsibility for our lost condition. Salvation is of a personal interest in our Lord and Savior. I can't save you. You can't save me. It's our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So in verse 42, he says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So let me ask you this. If we're seated here and we're seated in the midst of this crowd, and we realize that Jesus Christ is who he says that he is, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then you know what? Then today is the day of salvation. We're not going to put it off tomorrow. We're not going to say, well, Brother Russell, you know what? I'm good. I'll think about it. You know, I got some things that I want to do before I decide to really accept Jesus Christ, because I know if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, then I got to live a separate life. I got to do some different things in my life. The Lord will take care of that, but you're not promised tomorrow. We're only promised this moment in time. And so given the opportunity, we're all seated here this evening. And Matthew said it this way, we're seated before the Savior at the cross. And this is where it all took place. And this is where Christ died on the cross for our sins. So lastly, one was dying in sin, one was dying out of sin, and one was dying for sin. Now the thief on the one side was dying in sin and refused to ask Jesus for help. And the thief on the right realized he was dying and minutes of life, asked Jesus to remember him, and died out of sin. Minutes before he died, he asked Jesus Christ to save him. Minutes before he died. All right? And how many times have we seen, and maybe in your personal testimony and your walk with Christ, that you've witnessed with people that were on their deathbed and they were just ushering out of this journey we call life, minutes before their death, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they then would have eternal life and escape the flames of hell. Well, the one in the middle, we know, Jesus Christ was alone, destitute, friendless, and fatherless. And that day, as he died for sins of all mankind. Remember, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And remember in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And you know, there's only one way. So this evening, if we're seated at the throne of grace this evening and we're before the cross, all right, so we're in this midst of this crowd. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says it this way, and then we'll finish. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so these malefactors, they sinned. They got what they deserved, all right? The one denied his guilt. The other accepted his condemnation. The other recognized that Jesus Christ was the way, is the way. The other one had no use for him, only to say that, why don't you save yourself and take me down with you? Take me off the cross too. But he wasn't willing to recognize his own guilt and take admission of the things that he had done wrong. He was only wanting for himself, wanting the good for himself. So, John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ, yes, while he died on the cross, he was sinless, he was perfect, he died destitute and alone. All right? But he died for you and he died for me. So this evening, as we all stand, let's stand. And there may be somebody in here who would say, you know what, Brother Russell? I understand the story of the cross. And I understand the story of the crucifixion. And I understand that there were two on both sides. And what I don't understand is my part in my own guilt. Well, let me just share with you this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And that without him dying on the cross, we would have no, without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we would have no remission of our sin. Amen. So this evening, I'm asking you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're on the one side of the cross, you're like the malefactor who would say, you know what, if he really is who he says that he is, he could save himself and save me too. Well, how about this? How about you take admission of your guilt of sin and you this evening accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and plead the blood and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I accept my responsibility. And no one else can do that for you. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, no one else can do that for you. Myself, Pastor, Brother Brett, Miss Stephanie, none of us could do that for you. It's a personal relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this message. And Lord, we thank you for the realization of being seated at the foot of the cross. And Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and the change that it can make in our lives. And Lord, we realize that the two malefactors were there because of their own sin. And Lord, the representation is such that we understand that one was willing to admit his sin, admit his guilt and his part in that execution. And the other, Lord, didn't. And Lord, the other blamed you and Lord wanted to be taken down and Lord didn't want to be part of that condemnation. But Lord, you, through your shed blood on the cross of Calvary, make a way of escape for all of us, for whosoever will. And Lord, we thank you for John 3:16. And Lord, we know that it's for whosoever will, for myself, for all the others, Lord, that you died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And Lord, we ask this evening that if there's anyone who's here and Lord doesn't even know you in the free pardon of their sin, and they're just living life just day after day after day and just hoping that things are going to be okay. But Lord, we know that we don't have a promise of tomorrow. And Lord, we understand, Lord, that without you, we won't make it to heaven. And so we commit that to you this evening. And Lord, in faith, believe, and there may be somebody here who's not saved, or there may be somebody who thought they were saved, or maybe there's somebody here who's not as close as they should be. Lord, that's between you and them. And I don't know. Oh, but I commit that to you this evening. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would help us as we remain seated at the foot of the cross, Lord, to gaze upon you and, Lord, as to what you've done for us and the sins of this world. Lord, for that we're thankful. We just pray now, Lord, that your will would be done. We thank you for this word. We pray that your word wouldn't return void, but it would purpose to do exactly what it's intended to do. And for that we're thankful. Lord, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. Your precious name we pray. And amen.